Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that we need to pay attention to for our comfort and encouragement is the fact that Jesus leaves the Sea of Galilee and travels all the way up into Phoenicia. He does one thing. In Phoenicia, he leaves and he goes all the way back to the Sea of Galilee. All right? The one thing that he does is heals the daughter of this Canaanite woman. So, what we know from this is this. Jesus planned and executed his gracious action of coming to this woman so that she could encounter him and they could have this wonderful experience together, in which her faith is tested, passes, and is commended. All right? So that it looks on the surface, and this is the reason why I'm belaboring this point, it looks on the surface as if Jesus is being negative and tough with this woman. But he came there specifically to save her soul and to give new life to her demonized daughter. And then the minute he's done this, he goes right back to the Sea of Galilee. So, however you may think about the conversation that took place, you must realize that Jesus is there in all of his grace. And here's the thing. Jesus has come to you in your baptism, and he has forgiven your sins. He has given you the new birth through the Holy Spirit. He has made you an heir of the kingdom of glory, and you are now a named child of God. All of this he did when he came to you in the sacrament of baptism. And he comes to you wherever and whenever you hear the word of God. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are present, and they manifest themselves in the preaching of the gospel. They come to you with the refreshing promise of life, and they comfort and soothe your heart and your soul with their gracious presence and their promise of eternal life. And thirdly, they come to you, the Lord comes to you in the sacrament of Holy Communion, where he gives you the very body and blood that suffered and died for you on the cross. He gives them for you to eat and drink in the sacrament for the remission of your sins. And where there is the remission of sins, there is also eternal life and everlasting salvation. All right? So, the picture of Jesus traveling up into Phoenicia to meet with this woman and then go directly back home, all right, having left her with saving faith in him, is the picture of what the Lord Jesus does and has done for you in the Word and in the sacraments. All right. So, he gets to Tyre and Sidon, and behold, that's Matthew's word for pay attention to this. This is really shocking. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him. All right? Now, she's not only a Gentile, but she is a descendant of the ancient Canaanites, those wicked, idolatrous, occultic Canaanites that God had commanded the Israelites to defeat, to dispossess, and to exterminate, right? Those Canaanites, right? She is a descendant of the Canaanites. She's not just a Gentile, but she's really a Gentile, right? And, but that's not really what Matthew is pointing to when he says, behold. What he's saying, behold, about is what she says. This woman of Canaan says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, she says three things that only a true believer can say. Right? She talks like a disciple of Jesus. And she's a Canaanite woman. That's what Matthew is saying. Behold, a woman of Canaan says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. All right? She knows that Jesus is the Lord. She knows that he is the son of David. That is, he is the Christ, the Messiah. And she knows that he is the coming of God's mercy into the world for sinners. All right? So she's talking like a disciple. She's talking even better than some disciples. And she's a Canaanite woman. That's what Matthew finds surprising in this story, is out of the mouth of this hyper-Gentile comes disciple-y words, really strong disciple-y words. And the other thing is this. Not only does she confess him to be the Lord, the Christ, and the source of God's mercy, but she lays before him her problem. She doesn't prescribe to him what he must do. She simply, in faith, tells him what the problem is so that he can deal with it as he wills. You know, one of the things that we learn from the Word of God and that is taught in our catechism is that when we pray for temporal blessings, we ask in the name of Jesus, and if it be thy will. All right? And we do not prescribe to God how he must answer or when he must answer. We simply lay our trouble before him and trust him to answer in his way and in his time. Because what we want as Christians in prayer is thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. All right, now. So she lays the problem before Jesus. And the Bible tells us here that he answered her not a word. He, for all intents and purposes, ignored her. All right? Have you ever felt that your proper Christian prayers have not been heard? Have you ever wondered why God is taking such a long time to send the answer to your prayers? Well, here, this woman is seeing it happen in real life. She has just prayed the best of prayers. She's confessed Jesus. She's laid her problem before him. She believes in him and trusts in him. And he answers her not a word. All right? This is a trial and a test. And so it is with us in our lives. There are times when the answer to our prayer is delayed in coming. Or it comes to us in a way that we were not looking for it, and we miss the answer. And we think that our prayers have not been heard. This is a trial of faith. And so this woman, not only is she undergoing the trial of having her daughter grievously demonized, which would be a horrible, horrible thing, but she also has to deal with the fact that the Messiah, the Son of God, has heard her prayer and is ignoring her. This is so embarrassing for the disciples that they say, Jesus, do something about this woman. Give her what she asks for so she doesn't keep wailing and crying after us. This is embarrassing, right? They're asking for him to do what she says so she goes away. You know? I mean, you got to picture the scene. Jesus and the 12 disciples are coming into town. This woman comes running out of town and she is whooping and howling and crying and begging. Jesus is ignoring her. The disciples are drumming their fingers and getting really embarrassed. A crowd is beginning to gather and she won't be still. She keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And so the disciples finally say, Jesus, give her what she asks. Send her away. This is embarrassing. She's crying after us. We've got this screaming woman. Right? And he answers, not her. He doesn't answer her. He answers the disciples. And he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's like he says to his disciples, what are you guys asking me? What? Don't you know? I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to this Gentile woman, right? She overhears this. What a negation, right? What's the temptation here? The temptation is to think, oh, well, of course I don't get an answer to my prayers because God doesn't love me. Because I'm not one of God's elect. I'm not one of the chosen people. I am just a sinner. God hates me. And of course, my prayers would not be answered. You know, and there are times in our lives where we all feel this way. We look at our problems, we listen to our prayers, we see the delay in the answer to our prayers, and we think, well, maybe because I'm just not one of God's elect, you know, and so he's gracious to my wife, but not to me. You know, he's gracious to my friends, but not to me, because I'm not one of the elect. Right? And so maybe all this gospel stuff and all this forgiveness stuff, it applies to others, but it doesn't apply to me. All right? These thoughts come into our minds when we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death and nothing seems to be happening to help us out. And we think, wow, maybe God hates me. All right? And so how does she deal with this temptation? It says, she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She refuses to believe that Jesus, the Messiah, has no help and no mercy for her. She will not. She will not. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He is the embodiment of God's mercy for sinners. He has to have something for me. And so she comes and she throws herself down on the ground and she says, Lord, help me. Right? This is the second time she uses the word Lord. So she will not be deterred by fears of her own non-election. Maybe I'm just not predestined to be a child of God. She won't let that deter her. She remembers who he is and she says, Lord, help me. And then Jesus delivers the coup de grace. Right? He looks her square in the face and he says to her, it is not proper to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. Whew! Now, let me explain to you what the Bible means by the word dogs. There are two groups of people in the Old Testament who are referred to as dogs. Number one are the enemies of Israel, like the Philistines, right? And the Amalekites, and all of the Babylonians, and the Assyrians, and all those ites and isms. They were called dogs, all right? So to call someone a dog means that you're calling them a no good heathen, right? The other persons in the Old Testament who are called dogs in the books of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are Sodomites. Sodomites are called dogs, all right? Homosexuals, Sodomites. And so they are called dogs. So when Jesus says to this woman, with all that biblical background, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to dogs, it's not a compliment. And there's no way that we can dress this up and make it cute. All right? Jesus is referring to her Gentileness. And he is referring to her moral inferiority, and he calls her a dog. What is this? Well, you know, when our prayers are delayed in finding an answer, one of the things that we think about as Christians is, well, maybe I'm just not worthy. Maybe it's because of my sins. Maybe it's because of my past life. Maybe it's because of my bad habits. Maybe it's because I don't read the Bible as much as I should. Whatever it is, I am obviously not worthy. And the reason why God is not helping me is because I don't deserve to be helped. And so we allow our faith to be harmed by this belief that we're unworthy. And we don't realize that that the answer to that is this. Listen, the answer to the feeling I am not worthy is not, oh, come on, sure you are. Right? No, the answer is, of course you're not worthy. None of us are worthy. All right? None of us deserves anything but eternal damnation. This is the truth of the Word of God. You deserve to go to hell. You deserve to, that God would give you a life of sorrow, tribulation, pain, and humiliation. That's what you deserve. You don't deserve God's grace. Nobody deserves it. It's a gift, and it comes to you free. And therefore, when you say, oh, the reason why I haven't been answered in my prayers is because I'm not worthy, you're really casting aspersions on Christ and the gospel. You see? So here, Jesus says these words to her. She is tempted to believe that she is somehow unworthy. But look what she does. This is absolutely magnificent. He just lays the coup de grace on her, and she says, truth, Lord. Right? In other words, you are absolutely right, Lord. Notice the third time she calls him Lord, right? You are absolutely right, Lord. For even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She turns this put down into a gospel promise. She says, when you give the children their bread, it always happens that some of the children's food falls on the floor and the dogs get to eat the scraps that fall on the floor. So even when you are giving the children their bread, the dogs get to eat the crumbs. I am absolutely happy to be a dog that gets the crumbs. This is a wonderful statement of faith. She accepts that she's an undeserving sinner, but she doesn't let it deter her. She takes this word about the children's bread and she turns it into a way that it can apply to her. Yes, you're right. You are the Messiah of Israel. And you have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And while you are giving the lost sheep their proper bread, there's always going to be crumbs that fall from the table. And I'm happy with a crumb. Me and my daughter, all we need are the crumbs. Because your crumbs, Lord Christ Jesus, your crumbs are greater than the abundance of all the world. And Jesus looks at her and says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. You see, by God's sheer grace, this woman has gospel faith. And she will find the gospel in the... It's like she's a Missouri Synod Lutheran. All right? It's like she's a Missouri Synod Lutheran. She's got that law gospel thing tattooed into her brain. And she knows how to distinguish the law and the gospel. And she grabs hold of that gospel and will not let it go. And this is the lesson to us today. Yes, we are tempted to believe that God is ignoring us when we don't get answers to our prayers. We are sometimes tempted in our desperation to think, well, maybe I'm not one of those whom God has predestined to salvation. And we throw ourselves into a turmoil because of that. Or there are times when we think, well, I'm really not worthy. Right? And we start getting that, you know, that false piety. I'm not worthy. Right? We need to push all that stuff. Of course you're not worthy. All right? It's all a gift. Jesus showed up just for this woman. And when he was done with her, he left and went home. And it was a long walk. Day's journey. Okay? So it was a long walk. Of course you're not worthy. But it's a gift. And she by this wonderful faith that she had planted in her heart, she clung to that faith in Jesus, the Lord, the Christ, the source of God's mercy for me, and she wouldn't let it go. And Jesus, it's like in a wrestling match, it's like a wrestling match. She wins and Jesus is smiling. All right? She wins and Jesus is smiling. And so it is. She says, "Great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. All right? Remember that the Lord is your Savior. He has come to you in baptism. He has come to you today in his gracious visitation through this gospel word. And he will come to you the next time you kneel at the Lord's altar and receive his true body and blood. He is gracious, and when he comes, he brings salvation and the grace and help of God. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.